angry bipolar world, three perfect sides reveal many truths.
Body, mind, and spirit.
Thought, word, and deed.
Conspiracy, propaganda, and truth.
Natural health, allopathic tyranny, and your body.
Freedom, globalism, and sovereign nations.
And so much more. Each week, the Perfect Triangle will blast through fake news lies, champion the natural way and natural law, unravel the Orwellian deceptions of our corrupt government, reveal the satanic evil of globalist banks and transnational corporations. Tune in every Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, to Revolution Radio Studio A for thoughtful discussions with free thinkers. Your calls are always welcome. The Perfect Triangle, with Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. Join me, won't you?
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome for everyone who's listening today. This is Conversations with Eagle Flower. We are firmly planted on this earth, or so it seems. We're physical beings and use our five senses to explore this world, to participate, and to express ourselves. These five senses of seeing, smelling, tasting, hearing, and touching are solid aspects of us and how we assimilate information. We're intelligent, imaginative, and sentient beings. We're composed of matter with electrical and magnetic components and neural pathways. Today, scientists say that we actually see less than 5% of what surrounds us. Could this 5% figure translate to our other senses? If so, is it possible to awaken these abilities, these innate talents that are just beyond reach? This is something for us to think about and to explore. So, I welcome again all of the listeners of Revolution Radio and acknowledge that we come from many cultures, creeds, and nationalities around this world. And we come to learn together from each other in the best possible way. We also acknowledge that no race, no person is better than another, because we all experience this gift of life from our mutual creator. Thanks again for listening to Revolution Radio and supporting us here. We are a listener-supported station. And again, the listener part is part of the mutual giving and receiving. So as a listener, try and give, because you receive a lot from the different shows that are on. And of course, I do have to give a special shout out to all the chatsy chatters here at Rev Radio, whether you're listening now or later. And a special shout out to all of our furry friends and feathered friends. We know you're there. So today's theme is our innate senses. Before we go to discussing our personal five senses, why don't we check out what various species have and their specialties are. I have come across an interesting list that discusses very briefly 10 unusual animal senses. And I'm going to go to that article right now. And it's from a website called Listverse, as in song. And the title, of course, is 10 Unusual Senses. The only way we know the world is via our senses. Therefore, the senses that we have are fundamental to our thinking and understanding. Children are often told that they have five senses, but in reality, humans have at least nine and perhaps many more, depending on our definition of sense. The animal world puts humans to shame, though. Some animals have senses humans also possess, but to a far higher acuity, or sense the world in an entirely different way. Listed below are 10 of these unusual creatures. The first one is listed is the platypus. And they discovered in Europe that it is a mammal with a bill like a duck and lays eggs. And it was first thought to be a hoax. Just what is the purpose of this absurd-looking bill? The platypus hunts for small invertebrates at the bottom of rivers and ponds. While diving, its eyes, nostrils, and ears close against the water. The bill of the platypus is packed with sensory cells able to detect the weak electrical fields put out by animals as they move. As well as the electrical sense, the bill contains cells sensitive to disturbances in the water. Together, these two senses, electroreception and mechanoreception, enable the platypus to locate their prey with stunning accuracy. The next one is on echolocation. While bats are proverbially said to be blind, the real animals do have sight. If bats' eyes are small and rather less powerful than other predatory animals, it is because some have developed the ability to hunt using sound. Echolocation in bats is the use of high-pitched pulses of sound and listening for the return of that pulse to judge the distance and direction of objects in their environment. They judge their target not just on the length of time it takes the pulse to return, but also the Doppler shift of the sound, which reveals the speed of the insect. Being nocturnal and hunting mostly for small insects, they need a sense which does not rely on light. Humans have a very rudimentary form of this sense. We can judge where a sound comes from, but some individuals have developed it into true echolocation. Infrared. When police chase criminals at night or rescuers search for people trapped under rubble, they often turn to infrared imaging devices. Most of the thermal radiation emitted by objects near room temperature is in the form of infrared, so detecting this can be used to judge surroundings on the basis of heat. In several groups of snakes which hunt for warm-blooded prey, there are pits on their heads which can detect infrared light. Even snakes which have been blinded can still hunt accurately using just their ability to sense infrared. Interestingly, the molecular basis of infrared detection in snakes is completely different to the sensing of visible light and must have evolved separately. Ultraviolet light. Most people agree that flowers are pretty. While they are mere adornments to us, they are vital to the plants themselves and to the insects which feed from them. The flowers are there to encourage pollination by insects, so it makes sense that they should stand out in some way to help insects find them. In the case of flowers pollinated by bees, there is far more to their appearance than meets the human eye. Such flowers viewed in the ultraviolet spectrum often reveal patterns designed to draw in the bees. Bees do not see the world as we do. They have a different range of visible light, the blue and green, than we do, and have a set of cells specifically for the detection of ultraviolet. As my botany professor once said, plants use flowers as whores use lipsticks to draw the punters in. That's kind of humorous there. I know when I'm gardening in the summertime, I have to remind myself, what am I wearing today? Because so often when I wear the rich blue and primarily blue or flowered print clothes, I've got all kinds of insects circling around me because they're checking me out. The next item is magnetism. Bees have a second sensory trick up their furry little sleeves. For a bee, finding the hive again after a busy day of flying about is a matter of life or death. For the hive, it is important for a bee to remember where a source of food can be found. Bees may be many things, but they are not blessed with an overabundance of brains. To navigate, they must use a variety of information, and one of those sources seems to rest inside their abdomen. A small ring of magnetite particles, magnetic granules of iron inside the bee, can detect the magnetic field of the earth and help a bee define its location. And I know in recent years, this has been under much discussion as to bee colony collapse and so on, and the 5G issue and so on, and I'm sure it's all interrelated. Another sensory is polarization. Light can oscillate in many directions, but when all light is moving on the same plane, we call it polarized. Humans cannot detect the polarization of light without equipment to help. This is because the detection cells in our eyes are randomly positioned. In octopuses, the cells are regimented, and so we'll see polarized light as most bright when their cells line up with the direction of oscillation of the light. How does this help octopuses hunt? One of the best forms of disguise is to be transparent, and a number of animals are nearly invisible to visible light in water. However, underwater, light has a polarized component, which some octopuses can detect. When this light travels through the body of a transparent animal, its polarization will be changed, and the octopus can see that and capture the prey. And after reading this, what I get the term rather than polarizing, I am thinking refraction of light somehow in this. Okay, the next one is sensitive armor. Humans can feel all over their body because the skin has touch-sensitive cells distributed all over it. If you clad us in a suit of armor, however, we would lose much of that sensitivity. That would not be much more than an inconvenience to us. But to a hunting spider, it would be disastrous. Spiders, like other arthropods, have a tough exoskeleton which protects their bodies. But how are they to sense what they are touching, how much it is moving, or what the stress is on their legs? They have small slits in the exoskeleton which allow for stress to be measured by the deformation of the slit by force. This allows spiders to get a much better sense of their world than would otherwise be possible. Another sense, tasteful. In most societies, it is polite to keep one's tongue inside your mouth. Unfortunately for catfish, this is impossible because their entire body is covered in taste-sensitive cells. I have to say, when I read that, I found that very interesting to have a body totally covered in taste-sensitive cells. Going back to the article, using up to 175,000 of them, They can taste in all directions from the water which flows over them. Their amazing sense of taste gives them the ability to detect the presence of prey from far away, but also to locate their position when close by, in the muddy waters they typically live in. The next item, blind light. Many animals which have evolved in dark environments have either only rudimentary vestigial eyes or have lost their eyes entirely. In the very near pitch black of a cave, there is no advantage to species in maintaining organs of sight. The cave fish Osteonyx mexicanus has entirely lost the use of its eyes, and yet has developed a method of sensing the very small decrease in light given by being under a rock. When young, this ability gives them the ability to flee predators and hide. The pineal gland in animals responds to light to govern an animal's sense of day and night. In these fish, the translucent body allows light to reach the pineal gland directly, and it is this the fish use to find shelter. That's highly interesting in how it's done. Another one is dot matrix eye. There are a huge variety of eye forms to be found in nature. This makes the evolution of eyes surprisingly easy to understand, despite creationists raving about its impossibility. Most eyes, which are more than simple light-sensitive cells, are composed of a lens to focus light and a patch of sensitive cells onto which the image of the world is projected. To focus the image, the lens can change shape as in humans, or move back and forth as in octopuses, or in a variety of other ways. So while sight is common, there is a type of crustacean, Coppelia quadrata, which has a novel solution to imaging the world around them. Their eyes use two fixed lenses and a mobile sensitive spot. By moving the detector cells, the Coppelia builds up an image with a series of dots as it measures light levels in a number of positions. I hope you found that article interesting. It's got a lot of unusual items in it that I've never heard before. Okay. The next item that I'm going to discuss is, let me check here on one thing. Okay, here's, this is another article that is got some different items on different animals also. And I think as I go through this, we can kind of compare what our senses are. And I know our science always talks about evolvement and so evolution and so on. But in reading some of these, I began to realize that I think there's a great possibility that some of these creatures came into the world that way simply because they had different, shall we say, duties for functions, purposes. And so we can only guess at that, but that is kind of how I look at some of these. Okay. Molly Loomis of Discover magazine lists some more specialties, and the article title is 20 Things You Didn't Know About Animal Senses. Think of the term alligator skin as a compliment. It's extraordinarily sensitive to minute changes in vibration, which helps locate its prey. Alligators are touchy, and then she goes into the platypus again, which has the only animal with electroreception, and it's again through its bill. And then she says, researchers believe electromagnetism may help red wood ants sense imminent earthquakes in time to evacuate their mounds. Someday, these creatures may be part of geologic threat detection systems. And as a matter of fact, on that note, I have heard about that through the years, and I think some are definitely watching. They're called the redwood ants. Elephants, too, are acutely aware of vibrations. They use seismic activity generated by their trunks and feet to communicate with one another about predators, territory, and mating preferences. The star-nosed mole has 22 tiny nose trunks. And if you see a picture of the star-nosed mole, its nose is wide open and it shows exposed all of these tentacles coming out. And as was said, there are 22 of them. Contain a total of nearly 100,000 nerve fibers, six times as many touch receptors as on a human hand. As the mole burrows, the tentacles sweep ahead like a high-speed broom, faster than a human eye can detect. And I think what's noteworthy about the mole is that most of them are considered to be blind, and so their way of sensing things would have to be from a different sense. Above ground, wolves have a sense of pitch. Not wanting to lose their voice in a howling chorus, they pick up their own unique note. I had to read this several times before I finally figured out what she was saying here. I think instead of not wanting to lose their voices, it would be to not hear that unique voice of theirs, and so they pick out a unique note. It might be a better way of saying it. Seals are notable for their whiskers, which can detect the hydrodynamic trail of fish swimming up to 600 feet away. Now, that I thought that was interesting because we always picture seals with their whiskers. Sensing dinner is one thing, but animals from white-crowned sparrows to deer can sense if their diet is lacking in important nutrients. They'll crave food containing amino acids that can be produced or stored by the body. Now, that one is highly interesting to me. I find that interesting, without a doubt. I think that's why we see animals searching for different types of foods at different times of the year. They're looking for that one nutrient they need. Going back to the article, on the topic of bodies, a catfish is wrapped in taste buds. Well, we heard that one before in the other article, so I'll go on from that one. An earthworm's entire body is covered with chemoreceptors that detect chemical changes and provide a sense of taste. And here we go again, where the whole body is entirely encased with taste buds or the sense of it. Snakes' tongues do more than taste. They help to track prey. Their forked tongues pick up scent molecules that the animal transfers via specialized ducts in their mouth to the Jacobson's organ, which can detect where the scent source is located. And I know this is the reason why it's commonly said that snakes smell with their tongues. And I think that's a very interesting thing to consider. Rats and common moles can smell in stereo. They have independent acting nostrils. It says here in the article that researchers are putting their talents to use in Africa detecting landmines and other explosives. That's interesting. Up to 40% of a shark's brain is dedicated to the sense of smell. I think a lot of us have heard that one before. But that is the reason why they can sniff out their prey. That's a third of the mile away in the open ocean. Parasitic worms also use scent to find hosts. By identifying odors attractive to these parasites, researchers may one day develop traps for worms that pose major health risks. I have to tell you, when I read this, I thought this is interesting. They're doing the reverse of what, in my mind, they should be doing. Parasitic worms become parasitic in many times because there is an area of the body, no matter what body, that is at lower defense, let's say. And so my immediate reaction to this is, why not use these worms to locate the sources of the body that are under duress and then treat the cause of why the parasitic worm is all attracted to it? So that's my editorial on that one. Sight, not smell, is a raptor's key sense. Even while diving at speeds of 100 miles per hour or more, falcons can spot prey, thanks in part to a reduced number of blood vessels in the retina. Since the vessels scatter light, having fewer of them creates extremely sharp images. Here's one on scallops. There are no falcons, but some scientists believe they're able to distinguish between light and dark with as many as 100 eyes on the edge of their mantle. A reflective surface on the back of each eye focuses light onto two retinas to form an image. And then we have what's called the four-eyed fish. And I'm not even going to try to pronounce that correctly. It's anableps. Really have just two eyes, but each one is partitioned. The top keeps a lookout for above-surface predators while the bottom watches underwater. Well, of course. Next, we go to jumping spiders having eight eyes, positioned to create nearly 360-degree vision. But some species can detect ultraviolet radiations, which the article says facilitates mating. I thought that was interesting. And here we go for our break. Be back in a minute.
People's war. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning! Warning!
We gotta stop them! They're gonna kill us all!
See how the trouble you've started?
Be they the government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone, or human beings!
Time when the operation of the machine becomes so odious, makes you so sick at heart that you can't take part, you can't even passively take part, and you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop, and you've got to indicate to the people who run it, to the people who own it, that unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Revolution Radio of FreedomSlips.com, the number one listener-supported talk radio station, throwing ourselves upon the gears of the machine. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
You called down the thunder, well now you've got it.
Right, you tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
Revolution Radio!
Hello, Karl Marx here. Look at my wonderful hair. Notice how I sweep it back.
Karl?
I call it the 360 sweep. Beard, sideburns, and the magnificent coif.
Karl!
What? What is this?
You're on the radio. They can't see you.
Oh, yeah, I get confused.
Want to learn more about the Marxist agenda and other important stuff? Listen to The Ultimate Remedy with L.B. Bork, Tuesdays, 6 p.m. Eastern, right here on Revolution Radio.
Hello, all you good-looking people out there in Revolution Radio. This is Mario. I invite you to join me Thursdays at 6 o'clock for This, That, and the Other. It's a show about you, it's a show about me, but ultimately it's a show where we try to have a little bit of fun. We discuss important topics, and we do our best to be apolitical. So I invite you, put on your favorite pair of comfy sweats, your smoking jacket, and grab a beverage of your choice, and join me Thursday evenings at 6 o'clock for This, That, and the Other on Revolution Radio.
Find some comfort at Willow's World. A variety of news, commentary, and poetry at Willow's Poetry Corner, where there are comfy cushions and a tempting selection of delectable comestibles. A show that's quirkily and quintessentially British, with a unique twist featuring Willow Andreasen, your host. Join Willow Mondays and Thursdays, 2 till 4 p.m. Eastern Time, Studio A.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
And welcome back to Conversations with Eagle Flower. This is freedomslips.com. And we certainly invite you to try our archives. I've noticed in the last week or so, they've made it even easier for you to get in. They have everything pre-set up with the password and so on. So pretty much all you need to do is just click in on archives, which is on the top, one of the top tabs on the front page, and also on our chat page. We welcome you to join our Chatsy group here. We have a lot of fun. You never know who's going to be visiting, and come and join us sometime. And we certainly welcome you to become a patron member and consider donating on a regular basis. And frankly, this is one of the reasons why we're able to offer the archives for free. So getting back to my discussion today, I'm talking about the senses and was just doing an article, finishing it up actually, of some of the other animals and creatures of the world and their unique senses. And the last one that we have is jewel beetles. And they have sensors that detect infrared radiation from forest fires as far as 50 miles away. The beetles use recently scorched areas for mating. And the article continues by saying, now that's putting the sense into sensual. How do these specialties of other creatures relate to us? Is it possible that we are a composite of all of these abilities? This would give credence as to why we were meant to be the overseers of this world and all its creatures. Okay, so let's take a different look and a different perspective. First, I want to quote Vladimir Nabokov. And he says, our imagination flies. We are its shadow on the earth. Imagine a circle on its end, a hoop. As life spirits, we begin on the top and slowly descend this hoop. We are in spirit form, flowing, interweaving, and experiencing. Then as we slide down this hoop, shapes begin to take form. We describe them as causal bodies, mental and emotional bodies. And this reminds me, the other day I heard Lizzie discuss of how she had a past time memory of being in somewhat of a lighter human form, but never reaching the ground. It was like they were floating. And this, I found it very interesting because I had already written this before I heard her say it. We play with communicating, designing, and imagining. Slowly we descend on this hoop and become more physical. Are there other times, other places when we were less physical? Are they part of our memory bank? Did we use these various five senses in ways much different than commonly used today? Now, it is often said that we are at the bottom of this hoop, this grand cycle. Meanwhile, we do cycles within cycles within cycles. Our lifetime is a cycle. At the bottom of this grand cycle, we are very dense in our physicalness. Our talents and abilities become more focused, more linear. We presume that is the limit or expanse of this world and of our abilities. And another thing, when we look at today and how we all interrelate with each other, we're certainly more outward focused than inward focused. And this might be our big challenge right now is learning exactly who it is we are. Our five senses are more limited as we condense, or are they? Before exploring our senses, okay, I just dropped something here. I'll do another quote quickly here by George Neller. To think creatively, we must be able to look afresh at what we normally take for granted. Now I'm going to read something I wrote back in 2015. It's called Seeing with My Fingers. And this gives a bit of an explanation of some of these unusual traits. Do you see Tuesday as red or yellow? Asks one. The other replies, red or yellow? It's always green. What flavor is Tuesday? I don't get flavors with words, only with music. Does your calendar of days, weeks, and months go in a circle? Nope, my calendar goes zigzag, making a curved arc. Can we see with our fingers or smell with our tongue? How about tasting colors or hearing them? Most would consider this preposterous, yet through the centuries, famous composers saw colors wafting about while creating music. Are these abilities an added dimension or simply expanding our five senses? We perceive our experiences through our senses. Humanity uses these senses focused in such a way according to our belief system and genetic structure. Since most humans have five working senses, we tend not to question each sense for its abilities or in how we might enhance them. Further, what are they already registering? And we do not consciously recognize or filter? Maybe it is time to consider our potentials. Other living creatures utilize various senses in quite different ways, brought on many what-if scenarios to me. Within days, a newspaper article discussed unusual sensory abilities, calling this phenomenon synesthesia. Researchers are changing their tune on considering this a disease, malady, anomaly, or disorder, and now describe it as a condition. Break here for a second. I have to tell you, every time if you pull up and do a search on synesthesia and you go into the scientific phenomenon and this and that, you really have to watch how they word things because they've decided now it's really not a disease after all. But it is a condition so that they can continue studying it, of course. Going back to my writing. Synesthesia is an umbrella term for specific sensory oddities that we do not usually consider within the norm of our five senses. As usual, science attempts to box in and categorize these abilities by saying that certain areas of the brain are anomalous. Other scientists suggest that during the gestation and formative periods of the brain, all senses are undifferentiated, later separated and fine-tuned as the brain matures. And these various synesthetes have what are now considered unusual abilities. Some common themes of those documented to have synesthesia are: the most common type is seeing colors related to words. Their individual ability is consistent to themselves and test out the same years later. And that's a very consistent point there, is through testing years later, the same word or whatever comes that they're tested on is identical to what they tested on maybe 8 years previous to that time. Originally, they were saying that females compose the majority of synesthetes, and that is up for discussion. And their conclusion is that women were more likely to talk about it at first. So I'm not sure that how that data is figuring right out today at this point. Most become more artistic or creative in their hobbies and life pursuits, lending their unique talents to work for them. And I want to add here that I sincerely question if it's quite that, or do they already have an artistic or creative bent, and their synesthesia just lends it into being a profession. Many have much better memories by using their unique abilities. Synesthetes do seem to have hereditary factors, with various family members having same or similar abilities. Overwhelmingly, the synesthetes prefer their oddities and would never want to change them or be without them. And frankly, I would say that most of them feel like it is a gift, and they wouldn't know how to live without it, and would prefer never to know either. We believe and presume that only eyes can see, ears can hear, and mouths can taste. However, as shown to us by nature, our abilities transcend these locked-in perceptions. Going outside of the box presents us with so many unexplored possibilities, their richness unknown. Slowly, as we question various presumptions of how we gather information, we may find more errant belief systems to eradicate. At the least, we find how self-limiting we experience and view this wondrous world. Beyond observing how our senses work and what they tell us, is it possible that some of our thought processes also might change? Altering our conscious view equals change of perspective, equals change of thinking, equals change of mind. How can a blind person from birth visualize and describe color or general scenery? Other such examples should give us pause to review our five senses and abilities. Granted, humans have defined their abilities and acuities differently than have other mammals or living creatures. One might consider how much data that our senses are daily telling us, and we do not consciously register this information, awareness or lack of it. Many years ago, after reading about how blind people can see colors by holding an item in their hand and feeling the color vibration, I began to test myself on seeing with my fingers. Often, I got it correct with a general color tone of cool, warm, bright, and so forth. Feeling coolness leads me to the blues, warm to the oranges and reds, bright to the yellows. You should try that yourself, because it's a fun little thing you can try anytime. How do we see in our dreams? Our eyes are closed. For that matter, how do we touch, smell, eat, and drink, or walk and run during dreams? Obviously, our abilities transcend our physical bodies that remain asleep. Our senses go beyond the tactile during dreams and other out-of-body experiences. Our brain filters this sense information using our internal dictionary to interpret these events and file them into our memory banks. Our minds register these experiences as being real. What if? What if we can explore and experience these abilities in a more aware state? Could the synesthetes and others be way showers for us? If we evaluate our innate sensibilities, could we find more ways to utilize them? We may open new doors, obtain different vantage points by expanding our self-limiting senses. There is much more to be savored with our sense abilities. As Helen Keller said, the only thing worse than being blind is having sight and no vision. And that was a direct quote from her. I hope you enjoyed this article. I do remember one other time that I tried something just on this sensory business. Many years ago, I frequented this one bookstore, and it was a small bookstore. But it was like almost every book in there I wanted to buy and read. So I tested myself, and I just rode my hands over the display of books. I thought, well, you know, does one talk to me? And I started doing that, and it was interesting because inevitably the book that kind of talked to me through my fingers or hands is the one that I ended up buying anyway. So we have an opportunity to try all kinds of things here if we just allow ourselves to. I think one of the other things, too, is I just lost my sense of thought here. Oh, my. I did want to get into, before the end of the show, the WebMD has a description, clinical description of synesthesia. And he does talk about a certain, of course, he wrote in here, what are the symptoms? It was funny. Okay. The word synesthesia has Greek roots. It translates to perceive together. People who have this ability are called synesthetes. Synesthesia isn't a disease or disorder. It won't harm your health, and it doesn't mean you're mentally ill. Some studies suggest people who have it may do better on memory and intelligence tests than those who don't. One of the most common responses is to see letters, numbers, or sounds as colors. You can also possibly see or hear a word and taste food when you hear a certain word. Or see a shape and taste food. Hear sounds and see certain shapes or patterns. You can also hear sounds after you smell a certain scent. You can hear sounds and taste food. Feel an object with your hands and hear a sound. You can feel a touch when someone else is being touched. This is called mirror touch. And as the WebMD says, the symptoms for synesthesia, you can't control it. The response happens right away. You can't help it. This is true even with new experiences. For example, if you hear a new piece of music, you may see a color or taste a flavor without any effort. It just happens. It's internal mostly. The colors are just in your mind. Only a few synesthetes see colors outside their body. And by the way, in another place that's also was given, is this what auras are that people see? It stays the same over time. If you see the letter A in green today, you'll see it in green 10 years from now. One study asked people with synesthesia to look at 100 words and say the color they saw for each. A year later, researchers gave the participants the tests again without telling them ahead of time. The answers matched more than 90% of the time. Answers from people without synesthesia taken just 2 weeks after the first test matched only 20% of the time. That's quite a dramatic difference there. When does it start? And the WebMD says it often starts in childhood. Studies of kids with synesthesia found that it develops over time. The color and letter associations may be random at first and become more fixed as you grow. My comment on this from some of the other reading I've done, I don't know that it starts in childhood. I think it's always been there. But as a child gets verbally capable of describing what they see or taste or hear, that is when it becomes known. Who gets synesthesia? It seems to affect women more than men, but some researchers say this is not true. If you have this condition, your perceptions are involuntary. When you hear music and see shapes or see a color, when you hear a word, you don't think about it. It just happens. And at this point, when this was written, they're saying that about 4% of the people are thought to have it. But I know there's been so much research done in the process. I'm not sure that 4% is really a correct term or a number right there. And I'm looking, okay, the types of synesthesia. Now, he is saying that there's 35 subtypes, and I've seen where there's over 100. So some of the most common ones are grapheme color synesthesia, which is certain letters or numbers are associated with specific colors like we've been talking about earlier. Sound to color synesthesia. This is when certain sounds cause you to see shapes of different colors. Lexical gustatory synesthesia. Certain words or sounds evoke different tastes. Now, he's saying it's fairly rare, and yet in some of the other information I've seen, that seems to be commonly talked about by synesthetes, so I'm not sure about that. So that was his definition of synesthesia. Susie Kasem has a nice little quote, and she says, "My ears hear colors and my eyes see sounds." We only have a few minutes left, but I would like to read for you. I found a website that was strictly on comments by synesthetes describing what they see, feel, touch, hear, and I found it very interesting. The question that was presented was, do you have synesthesia and what is it like for you? James McFully says, "I have a very mild form of it. When it is very quiet, I feel sounds on my skin. It does not bother me in the slightest. I use it to fall asleep. It is like getting a massage with a feather over my whole body. But a loud jarring noise will feel like an electric shock over my skin and bright flashes in my closed eyes. Not very comfortable, but it passes away as quickly as the sound. I never really thought about it until I heard a story about it on the radio. I thought it was normal and everybody had those experiences. One strange thing about it is that it seems I feel the sounds before I hear them. I used to think it was the sound waves hitting my skin. Now, I just think it is some miswiring in my brain." Well, my comment is it's not a miswiring. It's just his brain is functioning in a better way, shall we say, or a different way. And when I read this, I thought, you know, there's so many of us that we go through times when we feel like we're being super sensitive. And I kind of wonder if this is, in a way, showing us what is going on with us. Why do we get super sensitive? And this is not something to be toyed with, because it just at times feels like we're literally on electric, so to speak. And I know there are others here who participate at Revolution Radio who sometimes get the same thing. I suspect more and more people are going to do that, have these feelings and don't know what the heck to make of them. And that this is one of the reasons why I'm going into the five senses, because this is a way for us to shall we say, find a new way of perspective of who we are. And it gives us an alternate, I would say more enhanced way of looking at the world, the physicalness of it. Certainly a more wondrous world. And we just really, I feel more strongly than ever that the more calm and centered we do get, it's going to be more and more imperative that we retain our senses, literally and otherwise. And this is a good way for us to sit back and these are things that we can try out on ourselves. We already experience life in a certain way, and maybe we're a little bit more sensitive in one direction than another. Well, go ahead and examine it. Try something different and see how you do on it. I do want to thank everybody for listening. And this is basically part A of this discussion. We have a lot way more to go. And I certainly appreciate everybody for listening in. This is Revolution Radio. And I'm so happy that you're here today. We're going to see who's here. Philip, Batsman, Mitzi, Rudolph, Jerbear, Boy Solomon, Comet, Surrey Sunflower is here, Troy Boy, Polite Gunfire Fighter is here, Zaf, Omega Lewis, Logos, and thank you again. So remember, what are you putting in your basket today? I'll see you next week.
Revolution.